This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
It's me, JP. Yeah, that's right. Well, some people might call me Zeno Mac. I think that's what you always call me, isn't it?
Yeah. Where's the J come from, dude?
That's my middle initial, dude.
What does it stand for? J?
Joel. Joel, like the dude from the Bible.
Okay. I'm going to leave it right there and there. I'm not going to touch that with a no. Okay.
Yes. And the man who needs no introduction, the doctor of multiple things. Now you're like, you should write a book. You're like the doctor of everything. The doctor of rock, the doctor of wrestling, the doctor of
useless
everything.
Knowledge.
Yes.
I have a trivial line.
What is it you always say? What is it you say that always say the following what's the disclaimer? Do the disclaimer thing. I always like that.
The following program is not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
It makes me laugh every time you do that. I don't know why.
The comments you've heard on the preseason program are not your of an intelligent human being. And I proved that just right then and there because I messed up my own catchphrase there. So,
yes, see, you proved it. You proved it. But boy, what a weekend.
You have had a weekend, my friend.
Sunday. Yes, it's Sunday, Dave.
Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday evening. We wanted to give Zane plenty of time because he had a busy weekend in Salt Lake City, and then told me about some other things that he did on this date. But let's talk about Friday first. Friday.
Boots on the ground report from Friday. The Fan X pop culture and comic book convention in Salt Lake City. I'm a great example of a father here. I pulled my child out of school Friday to go to a comic book convention. I should win Father of the Year for that, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should.
It's like of all the important things in life, pull your kid out of school to go to a comic book convention. But my gosh, Dave. We pulled into Salt Lake City about 11 o'clock. We left Manti at about 8, and I had to make one quick stop on the way up, and it took about 15 minutes, wow. 20 minutes. And so we got up there, that's another gripe for another day. But if anybody knows anything about downtown Salt Lake City, they build all these venues in downtown Salt Lake City with no flipping parking.
Right.
There is no parking downtown, dude. Nope, it's so frustrating. Yep. And so our hotel was about 5 blocks from the convention. And so we parked at our hotel and hoofed it up to the convention. We got in line at about 11:15. And it took an hour to get through the line. The line was lined up clear outside the Salt Palace and down the street. So you have to get this RFID wristband, right?
Right.
So we bought our tickets a couple weeks ago, but I didn't. And it gave us a QR code. It emailed me a QR code. Well, that QR code, all that does is gets you a wristband. So you have to stand in line and go through all the they should have two lines. Somebody who's checking weapons, fake weapons, and somebody who's not, because you have to stand behind everybody while they go through all their bags and go through all their fake weapons and inspect them and make sure, and they put a tag around their fake weapons. It took us a flipping hour to get in the building. Mm-hmm. And we're already a little bit flustered, right? The whole reason I'm telling you this is because my childhood hero, one of my childhood heroes, happens to be at Comic-Con. Well, they don't call it Comic-Con, FanX this year. And that was Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Ooh.
I've been absolutely ecstatic to meet one of my childhood icons from, you know, one of the originators of the Outsiders, the originators of the NWO, you know, founding member of the NWO, the NWO Wolfpack. I mean, you know, I always grew up loving WCW and Kevin Nash, you know, and we did buy a photo op with Kevin Nash, and guess what time our photo op was at?
I know it was pretty close to when you got in.
It was 11:30.
Oof.
So by the time we got there and got through line and everything, and then we hoofed it, and the celebrities are clear on the other half, of the other side of the expo center. So
right.
It takes you 15 minutes to walk over there, and we missed our photo op.
Whoa.
So I was already pretty fired up and a little frustrated with the whole admissions process.
Yes,
if it would have been smooth and streamlined, we could have got through.
Yeah, you were texting me during this time, and you were hot.
I was pretty upset.
Right.
So I thought, well, what the heck? You know, we'll go over and see if Kevin Nash is at his booth. He had a booth there. So we went over and saw Kevin Nash, and you know, I I'm already, like, freaking, I don't know, what do you call it? Just, like, I'm stupefied because here's my childhood hero, and I don't know what to say to him.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, hey, dude. I was like, we just wanted to come and talk to you. You know, we missed our photo op. We got in a little bit later than maybe we should have. And he says, well, I don't know how any. He says, nobody made it to it. He says, because nobody could get in the damn door. He says, and I'm pissed about that. And
whoa.
And I said, well, we still wanted to say hi and get your autograph and stuff. And he's like, well, pick a picture. So we picked a picture, and he's like, signed it for us. And he's like, I don't want you guys to get screwed. He's like, get over here. And so he took a picture with us.
Aww.
And it was super cool. And I was just like, wow. I said, thanks, dude. I said, it's just an honor to meet you. I said, you were one of my childhood heroes. I said, and I don't know what else to say. I said, you're fantastic. And I grew up absolutely loving you. And he's like, it's a pleasure to meet you too, sir. And I'm glad you brought your boy and stuff like that.
Wow. That's cool.
So he was super cool. He was super good about things and, trying to make the best of a bad situation. Cause I think he could see that we were a little bit down, you know, and he said, well, did they refund your money? And I said, no. He said, they told us we could reschedule it for tomorrow. And he says, yeah, well, tomorrow, he says, they got me scheduled for 10:45. He says, nobody's going to be in the door. The doors open at 10.
Yeah.
And he says, nobody's going to be there. So it was pretty, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting to be really, really, really too big for that downtown area. They're going to have to figure something out because I don't want to say it was unenjoyable because we really did have a good time and we tried to make the best of it, but you, Dave, you would have never been able to make it around there.
No.
You would have not been able to get around there. There's too many people. It's not very ADA accessible. It is so packed. Some of the booths and things that we wanted to see, some of the artwork and stuff, we had to just walk right on by because there was three and four people deep in line and the several booths, like with Pokemon and things that Jackson wanted to stop and look at, people were butting in front of him and I don't know. It just wasn't as, like I said, it was still fun. I'm glad we went. We had an enjoyable time. You know, we went over and saw the DCW ring and talked to a few of the DCW guys and watched them put on a few matches. And so it was still fun, but I guess maybe being in the country has changed me because I get around people and crowds and stuff and it about does me in to be around those people and those crowds. And there was so many people. My mom, I was talking to my mom just a minute ago, and she said there was people on Thursday, They were waiting for 4 hours before the doors opened.
Right.
They were lined up clear around the block. Mm-hmm. And it was the same when we got there. You know, the doors had opened at 10, and we stood in line for over an hour, you know, because the line was clear the heck down the block.
Yeah, and they only have you coming in to one area from what I can, what I remember.
Yeah.
And you, and I mean, it's a wide open area, but there's still just one area, and you got to go through all the security checkpoints, and then you got to get the ticket, like you said, that wristband. And then to get into the Salt Palace from this area, you've got, you know, just the beginning of acres, it seems like to me, acres and acres of convention floor space. And, I mean, it's just massive. And then you curve around to the left where all the celebrity booths are, and that's crowded, and it still has vendor spaces going there. And I'll just tell you this. I went to the very first one, and they had probably one, maybe two-thirds of the space, maybe half of the space, and they had the same amount of crowd. So there were people that got into line early on Thursday. Now, this is the first one, and they didn't get in that day. I mean, that's how long the lines were, that first one. So it's just mass confusion anytime you have this kind of huge event. But I think they need to get more than one area for people to get into. They just that's just something they need to address, having at least two entrances and exits, and especially entrances on that those first couple of days.
And it is just and different, like, costume people, and you know, if you have weapons and you have things, if you don't have a bag and you don't have this, then boom, you're through security. Don't need to go through security if you're, you know, if you're not checking a weapon. But we stood behind this guy who had, you know, 37 fake swords and 3 fake guns. And so they have to take each one and set them on the counter, and the guy has to go through them and run his magnet over them and make sure there's no metal on them. And then he has to inspect each gun to make sure that it is fake. And then he puts a little tag around it. And it's like, oh my gosh, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Let's move along.
Yeah. And then that's the cosplayers that do that. I mean, and they do have some amazing cosplayers, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, I'm telling you the negative.
Right.
And it wasn't all negative. I mean, you know, we really tried to make it enjoyable, but, you know, I would rather see them do, I know they used to, for a while, they were doing 2 expos a year, and I would almost wonder if they need to go back to doing something like that where they can split some of the crowd up, because it was just, you know, the whole entire downtown area, that area of Salt Lake, was just jam-packed with people and cars and parking, and it was an absolute madhouse.
Yeah, but you got to meet Kevin Nash.
Oh, yeah. What a stud. Dude.
Big, he sexy. Vinny Vegas. Could you remember when he was Vinny Vegas in WCW?
Do you remember when he was Super Shredder in TMNT?
Yeah, and he was Oz, one of his characters in wrestling. That one really bombed. But what a great performer. When he became Kevin Nash, after he left the WWE, and, you know, after this little bit he did as the bodyguard of Shawn Michaels, and he went to WCW and the NWO. That's when he became a superstar.
Yeah, and Big Daddy Cool was super over with the crowd too, but he didn't get a very good push, if I recall, in the WWF when he was Big Daddy Cool Diesel. That was a cool character.
It was, yeah.
Diesel was a cool character, but he didn't get, and that's when he went to WCW, and like you said, formed the Outsiders with Scott Hall, and really took off, you know, after that, wearing those sunglasses and that beautiful long locks and those leather pants. I'm man crushing there for a minute, Dave.
And is he a large individual?
Oh, dude, his hands are massive. Uh-huh. I mean, he shook my hand, and his, I mean, he's, I would speculate he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
And He looks fantastic, dude. His neck is, his biceps and his shoulders and his stuff is just massive. He's in fantastic shape. And he looked great. Looked absolutely great. I mean, I was hoping, I don't, you know, I had all this stuff. I was going to ask him if he was going to be it. I was like, I was going to ask him if he was going to come to SmackDown that night and stuff. And I got up there and got stupefied. I couldn't even talk.
Kevin, I got to go, Kevin.
Yeah. There's poor Jackson, like, I know you're a wrestler and my dad liked you and he was a kid, but I don't know who you are, you know?
Yeah. That's cool, though. Yeah.
But it was super cool. And then on to the next, Dave.
Okay, the next.
So we went back to our hotel, regrouped, and caught tracks over to the Vivint Smart Home Arena. And you know, you and I still call it the Delta Center.
Exactly.
I still call it the Delta Center. It'll always be the Delta Center to me. But just like the E Center will always be, you know, what is it, the Maverick Center now?
Right.
But I didn't realize when I bought our tickets, we had really, really good seats. We were third row, so we were kind of kitty corner to the ring, and there was like three or four rows of floor seats, and then we were third row up from the floor.
Wow, that's so not we bad
were,
at all.
We were
yeah.
pretty. Yeah, we were. They were still great. I mean, I didn't realize when I bought them that I bought them that low. I thought I bought higher seats and stuff. But when we kept going down and kept going down and kept going down, and I was like, these are our seats? I don't remember buying these this low. But it's been a few months since I bought them, and
right.
And they were excellent. I mean, you know, we were high enough to where we could see over all the floor people's heads and see the action in the ring. You know, so it, but, and you could still take pictures and, things like that. So they were great seats and we could see everything that was going on. And that opening segment was absolutely fantastic.
With the bloodline coming in.
Gosh, yeah. That was so cool. Oh man. And just to see those guys and you know, boy, that's something to, I mean, it's been a long time since I've been to a Nitro. I've never been to a WWE live presentation. A televised, I guess you'd say.
Right.
I've never been to a televised WWE event. I mean, all the WWE events I've gone to have been house shows. And I went to a Nitro and a Thunder once, and those didn't hold a match to the production of this WWE event. I mean, just unreal, you know, that big, massive screen. You know, they play the entrances on, and the when they come out of the down the ramp, and that the ring right out there in the middle, and just super cool to see how the lighting and the sound and the stuff was so spot on. Mm-hmm. They've sure done a lot of improvements in the Vivint Smart Home Arena for their sound. I mean, it used to be horrible and echoey and awful in there, but it's you could actually hear them talk. And
no way.
Because
I went to a Garth Brooks concert there once, and I couldn't understand a word Garth was saying. It was that bad.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It used to be awful, but they must have made some improvements. You know, they've got a lot of. I don't know. It would be interesting to do some research or to take a tour of that facility and see how all that stuff works. But
right.
I want to rewind real quick and tell you. So, a friend of mine, we've talked about him before on the show. We've never had him on the show. We keep talking about it, but. I have a really good friend who was living in San Antonio, Texas, and he's the one that sent me the big SmackDown banner I have in my garage and the Hell in a Cell chair. He sent me a Hell in a Cell chair, and he no longer is working for the San Antonio Spurs. He took a job for a company. He's going to be eventually stationed in Phoenix, and he'll be working for the Phoenix Suns in there. But for right now, he took a job. He's the project manager for all the redoing all of the video displays in the Smart Vivint Arena.
Okay.
Which it wasn't that long ago that they redid those. It's been probably not even 10 years ago, but Yesco Electronics did them and did a terrible job, and Yesco's gone out of business. They sold out to Samsung, and Samsung so then it was this new company is redoing all the digital displays there, and Bobby, it's like a 3-month project or something like that. So he's staying in Salt Lake. So he sent me pictures earlier that day of them. I'll have to forward them to you. The SmackDown trailer pulled up to the arena outside, and them setting up the ring and stuff like that. He sent some pictures, and he said he's going to try to get me some stuff. If there's anything left over when he gets there tomorrow, he said, I'm going to get you some stuff.
Cool. Yeah. I want to see those pictures, man.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. It's cool to see that. You and I always really enjoy that, the behind the scenes stuff and the setup and the takedown. And, you know, and I even like to watch them at DCW. I love to watch them take down the rings and take down the chairs. And I don't know why that I like that stuff so much, but I really have always enjoyed that stuff. But anyways, pretty cool story. But the SmackDown event was absolutely fantastic, spot on. Nobody missed a mark. I don't know. You couldn't ask for a better show. I mean, all the matches were crisp. It was fun. There wasn't a lot of dead spots. There wasn't a lot of talking, and the talking that was done was good. And
I loved it when Paul Heyman was out and he grabbed the microphone and he's talking about being in Salt Lake City, and he kind of pauses. What do you call people from Salt Lake? He went, Salt Lake Cityots, like the Salt Lake idiots. And yeah, you said you had yelled out something about that too.
He said, what do you call people from Salt Lake City? And I said, U-tards.
That's hilarious.
But I laughed so hard during the Sami Zayn segment. That was so awesome. That was so funny. He cracks me up.
Oh, he's great. He is fantastic.
You know, guys like him and AJ Styles, and there's a Kevin Owens. Some of those guys can literally do, like, Chris Jericho is one of them too. Uh-huh. Chris Jericho, like, they could do anything. Uh-huh. They can be funny. They can be serious. They can be bad guys. They can be good guys. You know, they can do. They are so well versed and can do anything. And Sami Zayn is so flipping good and so over, underappreciated and overlooked, I think.
Right. So. Now, even though you were at SmackDown in Salt Lake City, and I'm 80 miles north of you, I still had a delayed version of that show. I was delayed for about an hour because they started basically at 6 o'clock there, right? Then you started at 6 o'clock. Okay. So that was for the East Coast feed. Now, here I am in the Intermountain West, and I get the West feed. So you were there at 6 o'clock, and you were texting me pictures like when Ricochet's entrance and all that. And here I am and Logan going, don't do any spoilers, dude. Don't, come on. And you were good about that. So, but yeah, I found that interesting because I thought it was live, you know, here, and no, they did it live for that area. And then here we were still at the same time we usually are, but I was on an hour time delay.
I had to spoil or to do something, Dave, because, you know, I was so excited, and you're the only wrestling friend I have.
But it was still cool, man.
I have to send you all the wrestling stuff.
Now, you sent me a video, a short little video that I put on our Facebook page.
Oh.
And that was with the lights out and people had their cell phones up. And I thought it was the Fireflies because the internet rumor was that Bray Wyatt was coming to SmackDown on Friday night in Salt Lake City. So I was all hyped about that. And I even put there, I think I said something like, is it him? Is it here? Dare I wish for it? Something like that. And no, it wasn't Bray Wyatt. It was just people holding up cell phones.
It was a teaser. They were playing, I don't know if you caught the song. I didn't film for very long, but it was the White Rabbit song.
Oh, okay.
They played it. It was an a cappella of the White Rabbit, and it was, playing the White Rabbit song, and the lights went red and dark, and then everybody's cell phones.
See, that didn't make it to TV. That didn't make it to TV.
It didn't?
No. I didn't see it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Weird. Yeah, because the lights went dim and the entrance all lit up in red, and then it started playing the White Rabbit. I don't know who. Is that Jefferson
Airplane.
Yeah. Go ask Alice. Yeah. Go ask Alice, Dave.
Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Go ask Alice. Yeah, that one, and that's a freaky song in the first place. It was back in the psychedelic era, and it's very drug related. But they brought this back because of, I guess the way, if Bray Wyatt does come back, he's coming back as a different character, and I'm excited. Hopefully, he gets there. I'm excited.
I enjoyed The Fiend. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was good. But I still love the original Bray Wyatt, character.
Yeah, the Wyatt family. And so,
creepy.
Yeah,
I still love that, I thought that was he did an excellent job with The Fiend, but he played that, the Wyatt family guy so good, just the old, this is a creepy dude from the swamp or whatever.
Do you remember on Monday Night Raw, when he came out and they had the children's choir singing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands"?
Yeah.
That was when he was setting up with Daniel Bryan, how Daniel Bryan freaked out about that. That, to me, was just one of the great moments in WWE history. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But, that's pretty much the end of my Boots on the Ground report. It was a fun weekend. We had a great time. It was very, very well worth going. I wish you could have been there because you would have. It was fun. It was a good time, and we really had a great time. But
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG, Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, WORX. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com, spell works, WORX.
He walks around with a phone around his neck. What are people to think? You've got him now so bad he don't even believe in wrestling no more.
Watch me put my famous sleeper hold on.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you. It doesn't get any better now.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
On to let's shift gears here, and I wanted to talk to you about the current state of the WWE is, wow.
It's improving, isn't it?
It is unreal. So my question is for you is, do we get our hopes up? Is this how things are going to be with Triple H in charge?
I hope so.
Like the booking has been excellent. The storylines have improved. Even NXT, dude. I thought, oh no, Shawn Michaels at NXT, is this gonna be freaking, you know? But dude, I think it's great.
Yeah. So did Jackson recognize his friend in the ring? You know, Sokoa, Solo Sokoa, because you guys met him a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I showed him. I told him that. I said, do you know who that is? And he's like, no. And I said that. And so the people next to us, they were big Uso fans. They were, I don't know if they were Polynesian or Hispanic or what, but they were big Uso fans. They all had their Uso signs. And I said, you guys Uso, big Uso fans? And they said, and the grandma was like, I don't like them, but they all do. And I said, you guys got to check this out. And so I showed them that picture of Sefa Fatu. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, when was that? Where was that? And I said, this was a couple years ago at the local promotion, DCW. I said, we got to meet him and talk to him. And I said, he picked Jackson up off the ground and gave him a big hug and then set him back down and got this picture with him and stuff. I said, he was awesome. What a cool guy.
And they probably are saying, local promotion? What? And, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
other wrestling besides WWE.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I believe he was the very first DCW champion, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken there, but I think he was.
Yeah. Were you at that event or was I just at that one?
No, I was at that one. I was at that one with you, yeah.
Because I think we both were like, because we both knew that he was an Uso, and we both said, 2 years and he'll be in the WWE.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was that good.
Because I know the WWE was after him. They wanted him to come to NXT and stuff, but I believe his dad said that he wanted him to stay on the independents for a little while and get some more experience under his belt before he went straight to the WWE.
Right. I was just going to say, and Jacob Fatu is another one of the brothers, and he is the current MLW, Major League Wrestling champion. He's been there for several years. So there's still some more oos to get into your O's in the future for the WWE.
Yeah. So we went to the t-shirt stand and we both bought Bloodline t-shirts in Jackson.
You didn't buy this new Sami Zayn one?
They didn't have it, dude.
Oh!
Or else I would have. Honorary Oos. I thought that was the coolest thing on the planet.
Right.
But they had these, people were going hog wild. They sold out in minutes. They had these Salt Lake 316 shirts, and it had the Stone Cold Steve Austin skull on the back, and said Salt Lake City 316, and dude, they were gone in. And I was like, yeah, I didn't really think the design was that great, but
and they do that for every community, for every town they go into. I saw Toronto 316, San Francisco 316, seen those in the audience for a while, so.
But yeah, people went crazy over those, and they were gone in minutes. But they had some interesting things, like you could scan this QR code and buy the shirt and then go pick it up to avoid the lines and stuff. But
that's cool.
We just went and stood in line. I don't know. I'm weird like that. I like to see things and touch things and feel things and.
Yeah.
Look at it and make sure before I just buy it.
I hear you.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, Dave.
Well, that's why I don't buy a lot offline. So,
you know, there's a lot of performers, you know, like guys like John Cena and stuff that have worked their whole careers for WWE. And I know Vince didn't like independent guys, but, you know, is there an advantage of people going up through the independent circuit and working their way up towards the WWE? Somebody like Karrion Kross.
Well, I think there is an advantage to that, but before Vince retired, he had actually come out and said that he wasn't interested in the indies, that he wanted athletes and he wanted them to look a certain way. And that was when they started letting people go from NXT and WWE, like Johnny Gargano, who's back in WWE now. And they let Adam Cole's contract run out because he didn't fit the mold that Vince liked. He didn't want somebody at been to another company and wanting them to come in. But I think that that was a mistake, because that name coming in, that they might have seen, say, if they were in the WWE or in AEW, and then they come to WWE, there's a certain amount of recognition that gets a good pop from the crowd. And I'll say Cody Rhodes as an example. When Cody came back, he had a huge, huge response from the crowd, better than he did when he was in the WWE. It was an amazing thing. So I think they've changed that up a little bit.
That was interesting to see the pop that he got coming back, you know, and when he was in the WWE as Stardust, and as the, what was this, the faction that him and
Evolution. Evolution. Like, Ted DiBiase Jr., Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. They were all second and third generation wrestlers. That was a good faction.
That was good. That was good. But they, but I don't know. It's cool to see these guys. You know, like I said, a couple years ago in Salt Lake, here we are, and there's one of those guys we saw literally, right there on the in the big leagues of WWE. And that's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to see that stuff.
I loved that when I saw him going to NXT. I was really excited because I knew eventually he'd get up there, and I knew you had. I was doing interviews across the area for the podcast, and there you are talking to a future WWE superstar and taking your picture, and I was all the way across the arena. So you lucked out. but anyway, it's all for fun, yeah.
It's awesome, you know, and I mean, even the guys, you know, at DCW, I made the comment, and I hope you didn't think I was ignorant by making the comment of, because those guys at DCW, they are at Comic-Con, probably performing for free. I'm sure they didn't make a cent, and they're just trying to get by, and they were fun, but, you know, those guys, in the WWE, man, those moves are crisp, the lighting, the ring, it is definitely the big leagues, man. And I know that they sure give it hell, and I love DCW, and I love the independent. Maybe I sound like a hypocrite, because I always talk on the podcast about how much I love the independents and things, and I still do, and I always will, but boy, there's something to be said about that big fancy production.
Well, just
WWE.
Yeah, if you compare, I mean, you go to a college football game, and you can have a great time at a college or a high school game, and see some good stuff, especially when you get into the colleges. But the speed factor goes up when you go to the big leagues, like the WWE. Moves are crisper, they're done faster, they're more impactful, because of the experience and the training they have. Same thing with professional wrestling. When these guys are starting to get their training, they're learning, and they learn through their mistakes and their talent, and they get better and better and better. Because I'll just give you an example from a lady that we talk a lot about, Rekha Dehaka. You know, I saw one of her first matches in DCW, and she did fine. I mean, I thought, she's got a future. And now she's being a feature performer on WOW with the Women of Wrestling. And she made her debut on the weekly show yesterday, did a fine job. She's got a great look. She's got a lot of talent. She's very athletic. And she has improved over that two-year period. She's really improved. Manny Lemons the same way. Remember when we saw Manny when he was in UCW Zero?
He was just a little skinny.
Yeah, but he had a paunch on him, a little gut, and now he's cut.
Yeah.
And his moves are better. And you get Brett Buffet, his moves are better. It's all about good coaching, good training, and using your talent. And you've got, there's nothing to say that somebody couldn't go into the ring the first time and do very well if they had an amount, there'd be, you know, an immense talent. But you got to have some training behind you to get better and better and better. And that's what the indies do. All indies, they're just moving their way up, trying to make a living. You know, some of them are going to make it to the big leagues, some of them aren't. And that's fine as long as they enjoy what they're doing and enjoy the process. It's that's what I enjoy. I enjoy watching the smaller promotions. But, you know, like you said, when you go to WWE, you're going to the top kind of event you can see. It. The lighting's better. The sound's better. The special event is better. And usually the wrestling's a little bit better. I understand it completely.
Yeah. It's really neat to see. You know, and it's crazy too, Dave, because I know I didn't mention earlier, and I'm sorry I keep going back on this. It's kind of what we're talking with this show, though, is, you know, even from WCW days, and WCW wasn't a slouch. They were a big promotion, but, you know, I saw WCW televised events a couple times, but this was unreal. Yeah. And I'm talking just the LED displays and I don't know, it's just something just almost awe inspiring about it to me.
Right. That's cool. Well, I'm glad you had a great time. Yeah. And yeah, you got to meet Kevin Nash. That's the best thing, man.
Yeah. I love it. Was pretty fun.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I was a little bit, I wanted to go see Book, but Book wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. So.
And I looked on their app and they had announced that Jerry Lawler was going to be there, but I couldn't find him on their app at all. So
We walked up and down that whole, all the vendor floor and everything. And I didn't see anybody else. And no, I was a little bit bummed because we were talking about dressing up and I was going to, you know, dye my beard black and wear an NWO shirt or something. And I wish I would have. I should have, because there was no other professional wrestlers there.
Well, you know what? My one and only cosplay from a few years back when I went there, I decided to go as Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons. I took an old T-shirt and tore it up, and my wife wrote on there, "I'm Idaho." You remember that episode where they were doing the state costumes, and Ralph Wiggum was going, "I'm Idaho." And it was so funny to walk around the crowd and to see the people that got it. You know, a couple of people actually stopped me and took pictures with me. Our other people would just start laughing and pointing. And he goes, "Simpsons," you know, that kind of thing. But every once in a while, you come across somebody, and I just remember one woman especially. She walked up to me and says, "I'm from Idaho, too. What part are you from?" I'm Idaho.
Idaho. What part of Utah is that? What do the berries taste like, Ralph? They taste like burning.
And then the very first year I went, seeing all these cosplayers, it was fantastic. And there was one guy there, very thin, and he had on like a diaper. I mean, it looked like a diaper. And then you looked at his head, and it was like two pieces of bread. Do you remember what that superhero was? It was Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, jeez. I would have never got
Man. And I'm sitting there and I see him, and all of a sudden I was sitting and I was resting, and I went, "Hey, Powdered Toast Man, can I get a picture?" And he comes over to me and says, "Anybody that recognizes Powdered Toast Man can get a picture." And I got a picture someplace around with me and Powdered Toast Man, one of my all-time superhero favorites. I love Ren and Stimpy. Funny. I love Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, man.
Yeah. Great weekend. Great fun. And, man, there's a lot going on. right now, and I know that you had mentioned, you sent me some information of, well, we don't call her Paige anymore.
Yeah.
I can't
remember her.
Soraya?
Soraya, yeah, that's it.
Soraya?
Yeah, she made an appearance on Wednesday night, their Dynamite show. Crowd went crazy when she came out, and she looked good. I mean, she didn't have that pasty white makeup on, and she looked really good. And I understand she's been cleared to perform, so hopefully she'll get back in the ring. So,
okay, hold on. Let me find my oh, there it is. I found my Southern accent. I tell you what, Dave. I can't do Chris. That's just more of those eight.
More of them WWE people coming over to AEW.
That's what I was trying to do, but I couldn't do it. It's just will be WWE 2.0.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people buy into that. I don't, you know, and if people are upset because there's so many WWE, former WWE performers, I'm going, if you don't like it, don't watch, you know? But, yeah, to have her be able to come back and have a place to perform if she's medically cleared, and then maybe the WWE didn't want her because of the, you know, the liability and all that. Who knows? You know, we're not backstage to know, but to have her opportunity to get back in the limelight, she said she always wanted to come back to the ring, and she had the neck surgery, and you know, look at who's had it before. Daniel Bryan, he's back in the ring. You've had neck surgeries with Christian and also Edge. And all these people have had all this problems, and Tommaso Ciampa, you know, he got back into the ring. And so, you know, I'm sure there's seriousness of injury when it comes to the neck, and I've had the neck fusion myself, and there ain't no way I'm going to get into the ring. I ain't even been in. But, you know, still.
You had your disc. Didn't you have your disc replaced?
I had a fusion. Yeah, I had not a replacement where they went in and they took screws and a plate and did a couple of the vertebrae there.
So my sister had that done, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, mine went well, yeah.
But I've had several friends and several people have had that disc replacement.
Uh-huh.
And it's like no big deal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. I had a friend that had two of them done. They cut his throat from the front and went in and stretched his neck apart and put two rubber discs in there or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Paul, and it was about 6 weeks, and he was right back to it.
Yeah, and Bonesaw on WCW. You know, WCW, yeah. DCW recently had his, and he's back in the ring already. So, you know, medical advances have really helped out. But I wanted to send our best wishes to Chris back in North Carolina. He was doing his job on Friday, by the way, while you were having fun meeting Kevin Nash. There's poor little Chris, and he's working hard, and he works as a prison guard, okay, back in North Carolina, and he had to break up a fight between a couple of inmates, and something happened, and he has injured his knee, and he's getting ready to have an MRI this week, and we wish him the best.
Hmm. Absolutely, we do. We love to poke fun at Chris, but we love Chris.
Yeah, didn't crack his head open, and he ain't really wrestling.
Yeah, and you know what, dude? I don't know. I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but Chris is a certified bona fide badass too.
He is.
He's a black belt in like four different martial arts, dude. That guy is no slouch.
No, he's no slouch, and I wouldn't want to mess with him, even you know, trying to break up a fight. You know, he can take care of himself, as they say. And that's the thing about martial arts; they teach you how to, you know, not necessarily fight, but to take care of yourself in case something does happen. Mm-hmm. And he studied since he was about 7 or 8 years old. And yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with him. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And did you know we have a...
What else? Go ahead. Is this what else you got going on?
I was going to say, you know, we have a new Ring of Honor champion. You know, they still, even though Ring of Honor doesn't have a TV contract, they still have championship belts, and they still defend them on AEW programming. And our new Ring of Honor champion, the man of honor, the champion of honor, the man who is honorable among all honorable people, uses a low blow, and he wins the Ring of Honor champion. It's the Ocho, the Wizard, Y2J, Chris Jericho. He's now.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, he used Floyd the Bat, plus he used a low blow to win the championship this past Wednesday on AEW, and he's calling himself the honorable champion on Dynamite. So it's funny. So
yeah, another one of those guys that's just can do it all.
He can do it everything.
What's the deal with Mox?
Hold on just a second. You think
what she said?
She thinks Floyd should be champion because she's a big Floyd. Floyd's the baseball bat.
Well, she's wrong.
She's wrong.
She's wrong. who put a quarter in Teresa?
And you were asking about John Moxley?
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of stuff going on with AEW stuff, and Mox has been involved, and I'm sure you and Chris covered this, but mm-hmm. maybe for me, just fill in the blanks for me with all the talk about Mox for a sec and what's been going on with some of the stuff, and fill me in on all this suspension and the CM Punk Bulls SHIT and the, like, what is going on today? What's going on over there, man?
Well, after the last pay-per-view, CM Punk, when they have a media scrum is what they call it. And it's just basically a press conference. Well, he comes in, and he is, you know, he's still bloody from the match, and he hasn't completely cleaned up yet. He's a little bit out of breath, and he's trying to hydrate himself and also eat some food to get, you know, get his strength back a little bit. So they turn it over to one of the press people there, and the guy tries to ask a question, and Punk, who went off script evidently, decided to go off and just berate this member of the press who was friends with Colt Cabana at one time. And, you know, there's a lot of still animosity between Punk and Colt. And then it just went into talking bad about the Young Bucks, also Kenny Omega, talking bad about Hangman Page, using lots of really bad foul language, and Tony Khan sitting there going, and this went on for a good 25 minutes. And every time somebody would try to ask a question, Phil or Punk, whichever one you want to call him, went off on his own and just continued on. And it was bad enough that evidently the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega heard about it and they wanted to talk to him. Went to his dressing room. There were reports that they tore down the door, but didn't happen. They opened the door. There was some sort of physical altercation, and CM Punk had his title stripped because he was the champion at that time. And then also he was suspended, and probably his contract is going to be bought out. Also, the Young Bucks.
Isn't he hurt?
Now he is.
Like, for real? Like, isn't CM Punk?
Yeah, they said that during this fight backstage that he might have injured his shoulder or during the match. I'm not 100% sure. I'll just say that he did have shoulder surgery. But the Young Bucks, they have been suspended. So has Kenny Omega been suspended. Adam Page, who was not involved in the fracas, he still performs on AEW. But there's been a lot of fallout from it. A lot of people, you know, blaming one or blaming the other. To me, and I'm still not 100% sure that it wasn't a work. You know, I think it was real. I think everything was real. But, you know, in professional wrestling, you got to keep that little that little bit of, oh, was this a work or not? And that's where I'm at. Could it be a work? I would say yes, but I don't believe it is. So there's been a lot of talk about this. They set up immediately to strip a Punk from his title. And the next couple of weeks, they had a small tournament, and the tournament was going to decide the new champion. And it came down to Daniel Bryan and also Jon Moxley for the title. Now, you think about this, they're both in the Blackpool Combat Club. And it was really interesting to see these two guys in the same faction going after this big title. And, you know, Moxley won, and Daniel Bryan didn't act like it was, you know, he was upset, but he still shook his hand. I liked it. I thought that was pretty good booking to show that you can put on a great match without having a lot of heat there.
Interesting. So yeah. Lots of drama.
Lots of drama, lots of backstage stuff, and then a lot of people, of course, you know, on social media, you get the ones that are trying to get people all riled up, and then you get other people that are, you know, level-headed and saying, let's see how it plays out. And then you get other people like me who says, hey, if you don't like what the storyline's doing, don't watch. You know, there's a thing called an on-off switch, you know. If you don't like the product, don't watch. And that's my thing. Oh. It's just don't watch.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that because then you can't complain, dude.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you one. That's one thing I sure don't miss about being off the major social media platforms is the arguing and the people. Oh, man.
The name calling.
Getting all wound up about, wound up about nothing.
Yeah, but that's what's going on in AEW. Yeah. And, you know, they've kind of stubbed their toe a little bit. They're still a fun product to watch. Orange Cassidy was going against, trying to remember now, on Wednesday night. I'm drawing a complete blank because I really like the guy. He was in WWE Wrestle. I'm trying to remember the dude's name now. I'm just completely... Anyway, he had a match for that Atlantic Championship that they just recently had. And it was a fun match, but he lost. But I think... Pac, that's right. It was Pac. And,
I thought Pac quit AEW.
No, he didn't. There was a situation that occurred right before their first pay-per-view. And he was supposed to take on Kenny Omega, and he didn't like the way it was going to be booked. So he backed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's back with something called the Death Triangle. He's the Atlantic champion now, and he's also a member of the six-man tag team champions. And he is so much fun in the ring. Oh, and what a match that was with Pac and Orange Cassidy. Man, two pros, top of their game. Just put on a great story match. It was fun.
You know, how cool would it be if Aleister Black comes back to the WWE and forms a faction with Bray Wyatt?
That would be fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and Aleister Black has asked for his release. And he's no longer with AEW.
They sure didn't push him very well.
I don't think they did. And that's where I think they have kind of stubbed their toe a little bit. Every performer that became available, they pretty much sign. You know, Miro, he hasn't done very much. Bobby Fish, who was recently released and went to Impact Wrestling, he didn't do very much. When you get a huge roster like they have now, what do you do with them? And that's where they're struggling right now. And then you bring in the ROH stars and all their title belts. I just think they're trying that. I think they just need to tweak the product a little bit and they'll be fine. But the ratings are up. So who am I to say? The ratings are doing well.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you can sit and complain about it all the day long, but we're just fans. You you and I don't really get too worked up about that stuff. Because, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for you and I shouldn't be, but we've always talked about that. It's like, just sit back and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about this and that and who's going here and who's going there? I mean, of course we like to gripe about things a little bit, but
we wouldn't be human if we didn't gripe.
Yeah. Yeah. But we just say that we're fans and we enjoy the show, and that's all that really, it's all that we really care about, is that we enjoy the show.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people on social media think of themselves as experts instead of a fan who might know a little bit more than, you know, the casual fan. And I think we're in that category. But still, we understand that we're not there. We don't have that experience of writing the script. We don't have that experience being in the ring, performing, and all the things that go into that. And what the future, maybe they're planning 6 months ahead of time, sometimes a year ahead of time, and how that's going to come out. But every once in a while, things happen, and you go, oh, man, you know, why did they do that for it? And I have that happen every once in a while.
And let's get it right, Dave. There is only one expert, and his name is Dave as well, and he is the expert upon expert.
Yeah, it's Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Metzler.
No, Dave. Well, Dave. Yeah, I don't. I mean, maybe I shouldn't talk crap because I don't even know him, but I sure get tired of seeing his opinion everywhere.
Yeah,
it's like, who died and made you pro wrestling king?
Yeah,
you know, all of a sudden you're the only opinion that matters on everything.
Oh, now you have Vince Russo doing basically the same thing, and Jim Cornette doing the same thing.
Oh. You know who else pisses me off? I wish would shut his pie hole.
Who's that?
Is Dutch Mantel.
Yep.
That guy just shut the hell up. He is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He. Every time I click on my Google News feed, it's like former professional wrestling. You know, Dutch Mantel. It's like, shut up. And everything he says is negative. Everything he says about current storylines and this person and that one person, Dutch Mandel says it's always negative. It's like, dude, you're nobody anymore. Shut up. I don't know who's giving him any credit at all. But wasn't he a Mid-South guy or?
Oh,
what?
He's a legend in Tennessee. In Memphis wrestling, he's a legendary performer there, booker and more. But I think what happens is that there is a certain amount of people out there that believe they can't get an audience without doing negativity, you know. And then also there's the, I've got all this experience, I've done this for years, I know everything about everything. And I'm an old dude, you know, I'm 65 years old, and I worked in radio for 45 years, and I'm pretty good at it. But do I know everything about radio and that I didn't make mistakes in my radio career, or that there's not good radio out there now? Well, there's not. But, no, it's, you know.
That was funny.
There's some pretty bad radio out there right now. But does that mean that maybe – time has passed me by for the current product? And I think that's where you get some of these old quote experts that time might just has passed them by. They had a great career. They were great in their time, but they haven't said, you know what, let's sit back and see how this works and say, yeah, that's working. Or maybe they could tweak it a little bit, maybe give some suggestions on how to tweak a product a little bit. Then expect, you know, it's just terrible storyline. And I get tired of that myself. But I think that's part of the reason they do that is they believe, and I think falsely so, that they can get out there and just do all negative stories and still get a big audience. Now, of course, Jim Cornette, Dutch Mantel, Vince Russo, all these guys have bigger audiences than we do. So maybe I don't know what heck I'm talking about. But there is that thought process out there that negative news, negative story sells newspapers. And that would be also for podcasts.
Mind,
yeah.
You know, and I've never listened to his podcast or anything, but on my news feed and stuff, it comes up, and Russo's opinions aren't near as bad as like Mantell's and Jim Cornette's, and oh my gosh, sometimes those guys and like I said, I don't know why, for some reason how the algorithms work, but right. It's like every day on my news feed, something WWE wrestling legend Dutch Mantell says, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
I hear you.
Oh. And it's like, why do I even torture myself by clicking on it?
Brother, I hear you.
I don't know why. Oh, but, well, what a great, great show it's been. And it just, what a fantastic time, you know, this weekend was. And there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. In the future, you know, we've got some cool stuff coming up in Salt Lake. I know DCW is having an event in October, and their big event, is it their anniversary show?
Yeah, or fourth anniversary in show in December at Trolley Square in Salt Lake City, unless they sell a lot of tickets and have to move it.
Yeah, but lots of cool stuff coming up and lots of good stuff in the WWE right now. I mean, it's you know, when I say it's a good time to be a wrestling fan, right now it's a really exciting time. I mean, we've been praying for this moment. All of fans across professional wrestling and WWE fans have been praying for Vince to step down for how long? And it finally happened.
Yeah,
so let's sit back and enjoy it.
No, we can't do that. No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Let's sit. Yeah, it's because there's some good stuff going on at NXT, and I guess they're rebranding NXT and getting rid of the whole like tie-dye BS thing. I saw a thing about that the other day that they're going to really start rebranding NXT and getting it back to where it was before NXT 2.0.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet, but I hope they do.
I hope that it was something I saw the other day on, again, maybe it was just a rumor or news or, but there is some rebranding stuff that's going to go on. I saw, like I said, maybe it's a rumor. Don't quote me on it, but, anyways, I hope that's good.
Yeah, me too.
So
anything else?
Yeah. I think you did it, dude. We did it, Dave. We really, really did it.
We did it. And we did it so well.
Yes. You always do a good job, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So are you gonna take us out?
You up for well.
You gonna take us out?
Well, Dave, you know, I think I mentioned it earlier, and I'm gonna say it again. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, so just sit back and enjoy the show.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro
yes!
Wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
A lot of my friends tell me I look like a pro wrestler, but not a good one. I look like those guys that used to lose on Saturday afternoon wrestling. You might remember those guys. They were the ones that didn't have a theme song or a nickname. They were just waiting there in the ring when they came back from a commercial break. That's how you knew they were going to lose every week. They were already there. They'd get the saddest introduction in wrestling. Just already in the ring. Weighing in at 275 pounds. From Robbinsdale, Minnesota. You just knew. The next person through those curtains was kicking the crap out of Scott.